From the studios of KXAM, welcome to Tell the Truth Faster, hosted by Stuart Altshuler, marriage and family therapist. Stay tuned and learn how you can open your mind and soul to new possibilities in life. Now here's your host, Stuart Altshuler.
Welcome to Tell the Truth Faster. This is Stuart Altshuler. I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're here every week dealing with mental health issues from a holistic perspective, which means finding balance with body, mind, and spirit. Now, we all know that the truth will set you free. The question we ask here is, how long are you willing to keep freedom on hold? Now, this is actually the first live show that I've done in the new year, 2007. If any of you have tuned in looking for a live show the last couple of weeks, I apologize. I've been sick, actually, with that intestinal thing that just kept me in bed and close to a certain other room too often and too long, and I'm glad to be back on the air. I'm glad it's 2007, and I welcome all of you to the show this evening. Now we're going to do a what I think is going to be a fun and very interesting show. We're going to be talking about bisexuality tonight. And if you've been a listener of this show over many years, you know I've done many shows dealing with gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues. And I identify myself as a gay man and have also counseled a lot of people who are either in a state of confusion about how to define themselves, what to call themselves, or a state of terror and fear about how to define themselves or identify themselves in terms of their sexual orientation, sexuality. There are going to be so many different words we're going to be using tonight that hopefully we will help clarify as opposed to add to the confusion. So before I introduce to you my guests for the evening, and I have two guests this evening, I'm going to read to you from a website called biresource.org. What is bisexuality? Bisexuality is the potential to feel sexually attracted to and to engage in sensual or sexual relationships with people of either sex. A bisexual person may not be equally attracted to both sexes, and the degree of attraction may vary over time. Self-perception is the key to a bisexual identity. Many people engage in sexual activity with people of both sexes, yet do not identify as bisexual. Likewise, other people engage in sexual relationships only with people of one sex, or do not engage in sexual activity at all, yet consider themselves bisexual. There is no behavioral test to determine whether or not one is bisexual. Now, if that clarifies some things, there's another thing I want to read briefly that came out of Wikipedia. And when it talks about bisexuality, it says embracing a full range of sexual expression. And it gets very convoluted from here. It says, although observed in a variety of forms in most societies throughout recorded history, bisexuality has only been the subject of serious study since the second half of the 20th century, and some disagreement remains about its prevalence and nature. Self-identified bisexuals, like people of any other orientation, may live a variety of sexual lifestyles. These include lifelong monogamy, serial monogamy, polyfidelity, casual sexual activity with individual partners, casual group sex, and celibacy. For those with more than one sexual partner, these may or may not be all of the same gender. Now, it goes on to talk more about it, but I'm not looking to confuse any of you. And the paragraph actually gets very convoluted. So, bisexuality. Some of you are listening to this out there and you're going, oh, this is going to be interesting. I've kind of wondered about myself for a while. Or this. Some of you are listening saying, I'm offended that we're talking about such a thing on the air. Well, then this is not the show for you to be listening to. And I remind any of you that this is a live show tonight. So if you want to call in, the number in the Phoenix area is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. If you're listening over the Internet, as I know many of you are, because I do hear from you from time to time via email, same phone number, area code 480-949-1310, as in 1310 KXAM in Phoenix, Arizona. 949-1310, area code 480. Now, I have two guests on tonight, and both of them recently co-authored a book called The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe, Quips, Tips, and Lists for Those Who Go Both Ways. Now, one of the guests tonight I've known for a long time, and I consider him to be a very good friend of mine, and I have a lot of admiration for who he is and what he's done in the world, and as a writer, as an activist, as someone who's very straightforward, no pun intended, in terms of what he has on his mind and when and how he wants to say it. His name is Mike Zemanski, and his co-author is a woman named Nicole Crystal, and she's graduated with a degree in journalism from the University of Oregon, where she first learned that organizing bisexuals was similar to herding cats. I like that phrase. She's written for a number of periodicals, magazines, websites, newspaper, and I want to welcome both Mike and Nicole to the show tonight. You both there?
Hey,
yeah,
Stuart.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having us.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I congratulate you on the book.
Thank you.
And, Nicole, since I don't know you, let me start with you.
Okay.
If there's anything else you want my listeners to know about you, introduce yourself a little bit further, and why did you write this book with Mike?
I wrote this book with Mike because he asked me to. He had the book deal, and they wanted a female perspective, and I thought that was really important for a book about bisexuality to have the male and female perspective. And I knew Mike from the activist community. I just moved to Los Angeles, and I'd been a bi activist in college, or at least tried to be. I had weekly meetings for bisexuals at my university and started with probably 20 or 30 people at the first meeting, and after that we only had three or four, and the same few people kept coming back, and I realized how difficult it was to organize bisexuals at that time. I also wrote an article about bisexuality in our college magazine.
And one good thing that this is Mike, and that Nicole brought it to the project that I didn't have was perspective of the younger generation. I mean, I'm from the 40-something crowd, and she's from the 20-something crowd, and she kind of tempered my James Dean and Marilyn Monroe references and made it more up to date to the younger crowd, and it really worked. We both have a real great acerbic sense of humor, and we don't care what anyone thinks, and weren't worried about the PC language, and we really worked together with the sense of humor.
Well, actually, that is really one of the nicest things about the book, is that a lot of it's tongue-in-cheek, but you still get the point across, that you put a lot of humor into the book. And you may not know this, but this is actually going to be a two-part show on bisexuality. I'm having you guys on tonight, and in a couple of weeks, another colleague and friend of mine, Greg Carlson, who you may or may not know. Greg was on the show, and we talked about bisexuality back in 2003, and apparently he's coming out with a book also. Hmm. And so we're going to talk about the counseling and mental health-related issues around it, since that's his expertise, and mine too, in a couple of weeks as soon as we can get that scheduled. So you, Nicole, and I, are going to lay a foundation that will talk more in general about bisexuality and society and bisexuality and what the two of you have dealt with in your lifetime as identified bisexuals. And we're going to talk tonight, but even more so with Greg in a couple of weeks, about the struggles and the counseling issues and the therapy issues that are entailed in people coming to terms with this, like people go into therapy to come to terms with anything that they're having difficulty with.
Yeah, Greg's dealt a lot with family issues, and we, you know, we touch on, you know, dealing with this issue with your family, but and we do label the book a humor book, but it is fact-based. Everything is fact-based, and we have statistics and history and science and animals and anything that's out there that we could find and try to put it together, like you said, in a humorous way, because so many of the books out there about bisexuality are so dry.
Well, dry, but also, I think, intimidating and overpowering. And I think one of the things I really liked about The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe is, even if someone's uncomfortable with the topic because of their own inner struggle or because of just their difficulty dealing with any sex issues, it makes it more palatable, and it allows someone to sit and read through it and feel a little bit less threatened and a little bit lighter through the process of educating themselves. And I acknowledge both of you for taking that approach.
Oh, good. I'm glad you liked it.
So let's start out with this. I tend to self-disclose, and I know you well enough, Mike, to know that you have no problem with that also. In my own history, I identify as a gay man. I was married to a woman. The way I turned it in college is I lost my virginity with men about a month before I lost my virginity with women. Can I function with both? Yes. Have I enjoyed sex with both men and women? Yes. But I know very clearly my preference and my desires and my erotic fantasies and thoughts and stuff are strictly around men. So how do you address that with someone?
So, Stuart, was there a period of time that you thought that you may have been bisexual?
There was a period of time when, and I'm going to say this because I think this is the way a lot of people do it, there was a period of time that I called myself bisexual because it felt easier and less threatening. But even at that point, I knew while I could enjoy sex with women, it's not really where I wanted to be. It's not really where I enjoyed it the most. But hey, when you're first beginning to have sex, sex feels good no matter who you're doing it with, you know, usually. You know, it was like, it was the adventure, it was the exploring, it was certainly erotic, and it was, it was 1968 to 72, and,
oh, wow.
You know, it was like, if it felt good, do it, was the theme, right?
Yeah.
And so I came out of the closet and became sexual at a time when nobody really was looking for labels at that point. It was like, you know, well, who do you want to do it with? I mean, today I would caution and conscious people, you know, and help people become more conscious about having that kind of attitude and being irresponsible the way we were back then.
Yeah.
Because there's so many other issues around, like HIV and so much else that people need to be aware of.
Well,
but back then it was, if it feels good, do it. So we were exploring and we were adventurous.
Yeah, and you know, for a lot of people, it's easier to have a heterosexual or same-sex relationship and then develop into a same-sex relationship. And as you know, I'm in a long-term relationship with a guy now, but I, at one point, could definitely see myself with a woman and partnered with a woman and have the same kind of life I have now, raising kids with a woman, but now I'm doing it with a man. And for me, it was coming out as gay first was the step then to realize I was bisexual. Because when I was in the gay community, that's when I was sneaking around with women. As weird as that would be.
So your big secret was not that you were gay, but that you actually wanted to be with women.
As well,
and how,
yeah.
How did the gay community that you were a part of at that time, and when I say gay community, because I realize that's as varied and wide as any other community. But your circle, how did they deal with you coming out to them as bisexual?
I had come out as gay to my mom and my dad, gone through all of that at work, but I even had a gay landlord move to West Hollywood, and he was saying, hey, you know what, you can't bring a woman home. You can't bring a woman and have her stay overnight. You know, my girlfriend who would introduce me as her gay boyfriend, she didn't have any other boyfriend, but I was her gay boyfriend, and mm-hmm. and we would go to the gay clubs, and she loved it, and we'd come home and sleep together, but it was people were surprised.
See, I'm different than Mike in that I never came out as gay. I came out as bisexual when I was 19, and I've been bisexual ever since. So I don't know if that's mm-hmm. a generational thing, you know, if I was, I don't know. I just have always really felt my attraction to men and women and known it would be dishonest to call myself gay or straight.
But I didn't know the
well,
label.
Let's talk about that, Nicole, though, because I do think that a certain aspect of it is a generational thing and a sign of the times that we live in mm-hmm. where there is even that option. I think, I'm 57. Like I said, I was doing all this coming out stuff back in the 70s and, you know, after Stonewall. Everything was much more black and white back then, and you had to be one way or the other. And there was that old thing was, bisexuals are just people who can't make up their minds type of thing.
That's still around,
I know you address in the book. Go ahead, say again.
I said that's still around, unfortunately.
Well, I believe that, but I would also think that while high school and college age people today are much more open-minded about sexuality issues and being okay with having gay friends or coming out of the closet themselves earlier...
Right.
I think there's a lot less of that even judging someone who's bisexual, although I'm sure you get it.
Yeah, I mean, they don't really, I think the generation now, I mean, the younger generation, they don't even use labels, you know. They don't even call themselves bisexual. They just sort of are sexual and they, you know, if they're, a woman and they sleep with a woman, that doesn't make them gay. It doesn't make them bi. They don't want to label themselves. There's a sort of, you know, they're sort of above that. And I think a lot of that is also because it's not a political thing for them either. You know, it's not politicized. So I think that's a lot of it as well. You know, they don't want to be activists. It's not about that. They just want to have sex with who they want to have sex with and move on. And, you know, Mike and I have our own feelings about that, but that seems to be the direction things are headed.
Well, what are your feelings about that?
Well, you know, it's troubling. I mean, I wish more people, even though bisexual is a horrible word that confuses everybody.
Terrible word.
We wish more people would cop to it, you know.
It's because it's got sex in the middle of it. That's the biggest problem. It's, you know, you're talking about sexual.
And you got the bi, so you must need both in order to be happy, which isn't true.
Right.
Well, let's talk about happiness then. So if there is an assumption that bisexual people need both in order to find happiness, the thing that I find is that a lot of people who identify as bisexual are unhappy because they don't feel like they fit in anywhere.
Well, you can fit in whatever crowd you feel most comfortable in, but we get that all the time. I'm partnered with a bisexual man, and we get that all the time. Well, don't you miss women? Yeah, but you know what? We have chosen to be monogamous with each other. Most bisexuals I know can't handle more than one relationship at a time. Most people I know can't handle more than one at a time.
Uh-huh.
I tried it. I've been in situations where I was dating a man and a woman at the same time.
It's exhausting.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Nicole was doing it just recently, actually.
I think the thing that bisexuals are unhappy about, what you're talking about, is that we don't have a community. And it's true. We don't have a community. We chameleon out into certain, you know, in the straight community or the gay community, depending on what we are in the mood for. And that's a problem.
Or who you're dating at the time.
Yeah, it's a problem. It's definitely a problem, which is why I think bisexual people should at least have bisexual friends to sort of ground them while they're, you know, in the straight community or the gay community, depending on who they're dating.
Okay, so let me throw another thing at you, and please, Mike, you know me well enough to know I'm playing devil's advocate here more than actually believing what I'm saying. So, Nicole, I'm prefacing that since you don't know me.
Okay.
But there are people who will say, well, people choose bisexuality, and I'll use the word choose bisexuality because they don't want to make a commitment. And as soon as they get close to a woman, all of a sudden they're attracted to a guy and they go off. As soon as they're feeling like the relationship with a guy is getting really close and emotional, they find a woman they're attracted to. So they always have an out of a relationship. What are your thoughts on that?
You think that we're all commitment phobic? Is that what you're saying?
My case, that's not what I believe,
that,
but the devil's advocate is in me is saying, yeah, the bisexuals, again, another myth about bisexuality is that
absolutely,
they're all
commitment. Yeah, I totally agree with that, you know, I mean.
But those are the same people who would say, the same people who can't commit to same-sex relationships or any kind of relationships will be that.
That sounds like an intimacy issue to me. That doesn't sound like a sexuality issue.
Good. Excellent.
And that is the problem because when I went to therapy, I actually went to therapy for my bisexuality, paid for by my office at the time, and the therapist I had, who was wonderful, was totally ignorant about it, but was fascinated and wanted me to tell him about, you know, you're dating a woman now you're dating a guy, you know, and you're equally satisfied Yeah, and I would tell him, yeah, I have longer relationships with women, sometimes better sex with women, but it's easier to get guys, and you know, it's hard for me to be more intimate with guys, and we talk about it. But I was educating my therapist, and finally he said, you know what, you're fine, you don't have to choose, and thank you for educating me.
Yeah, and that's the problem with being bisexual as well, is you spend so much energy educating everyone you encounter, and it's sort of like your burden and your responsibility, you know, is because apparently we're rare. I don't know.
We're rare about being open, I think.
Yeah, we're rare about being open.
That's it, yeah, because you're rare about being open, but I don't think, you know, because Mike, you know, I do counseling at some of the gay bathhouses.
Yeah.
And the bathhouses are filled with guys who are in relationships with women long term. I'm talking about 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
And whether they're married or just in a committed relationship. And the bathhouse is where they go, where they feel safe, satisfying that other thing without having to undermine or leave the family and the wife and the kids and all that stuff. So they know where they're emotionally committed, but they also have these sexual urges around men, and the bathhouses provide, you know, that environment for them.
Well, see, that's the problem, Stuart. As you pointed out at the very beginning, it's self-definition. And the problem is, with bisexuality, it's self-definition. There are some people who define bisexuality and would include you because of your history and because of your past and your acknowledgement that you've been attracted to women as bisexual, that you would be on the gay end of a bisexual scale, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
which I think I am as well, but I acknowledge that I'm attracted to women, could have a successful sexual and physical and emotional relationship with a woman, and so unless you identify as such, you're not going to be it, and so there isn't any test, and it's so hard to feel comfortable in something that's so undefinable.
Mm-hmm.
And also the mainstream, they define sexuality as preference. You know, like you lean more toward the gay side, so therefore you're gay. You know, we don't look at it the same exact way. We define it differently, I guess.
How do you define it?
Bisexuality?
Yeah.
I define it as if you have a tingle between your legs for men and women, you know? I think that we need to simplify it. I mean, that definition you read at the beginning of the show just made me cringe. I was like, God, it's so convoluted, and no wonder no one knows that bisexuals really exist, you know? When you try to explain it like that, I mean, who even has the patience to sit and listen to that?
Well,
and we
want to hear the real convoluted part of it. Wait a second, because the rest of the paragraph that I didn't read from the Wikipedia.
No, please don't.
Oh, I have to, because I really, as long as I know you're cringing, I'm going to do it. The paragraph I didn't read is, some bisexual people consider themselves to be gay or lesbian on the basis that, for example, a lesbian, quote-unquote, might be defined as any woman who is attracted to women, even one who is also attracted to men, or a woman who is primarily attracted to other women, a looser official definition of a lesbian. Some lesbian and gay people object to this, asserting that exclusivity is part of the definition. Many bisexuals consider themselves distinct from homosexuals, but part of the larger LGBT or queer community. Other bisexuals may be supportive of lesbian gay people, but still consider themselves straight. How's that?
Wow.
I mean, it's enough to get you dizzy.
Yeah, that's what it is, exactly. I mean, no one can come up with whether you're bisexual or not except for you, you know, and if you feel comfortable identifying as gay, then identify as gay. I don't have a problem with it. A lot of people in the bisexual community just would like to point their finger probably at you and say, no, you're really bisexual, you know, cop to it.
But we also, Nicole and I were saying, we had this theory of if you walk like a duck and quack like a duck, you're a duck. I mean, Anne Heche, who has had a successful relationship with Ellen and then is now with a man, she's bisexual, you know. Rock Hudson, who had successful relationships with women, is now a gay icon. Well, he probably was bisexual. There's so many people that you could say that about, and again, if you walk like a duck and quack like a duck, you're a duck.
But I don't think people have the energy for that, you know. They'd rather just say, okay, this is my sexuality right now. I'm going to define it by the gender of my partner. You know, I'm with a man right now, I'm straight. Or I'm with a woman right now, I'm gay. And it's just easier because no one else can wrap their brain around it, so people just fall into that. It's just lazy.
Well, the one thing that you said earlier, Nicole, which I gave a little cheer if you caught it when you said it, because it's on my list of things to talk about, because intimacy is always an issue that I think people need to be discussing more.
Yeah.
And you said that it's less an issue of, you know, people who are committed to a woman, and yet as soon as it gets too close, then all of a sudden they find a guy they're attracted to, that's more of an intimacy issue than a sexuality or sexual orientation issue. It's someone who's relationship phobic.
Yeah,
in a
absolutely.
Sense. You know, and I think that is an important distinction that so many people overlook. That, you know, especially gays, lesbians, bisexuals are always pointing fingers at everybody else. I mean, you know, we're oppressed enough by society in general without doing it within us and without allowing people their own place on the continuum.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's a continuum. Whether you want to call it the Kinsey scale, whether you want to call it just a sexuality, sexual orientation continuum, you know, there are people who are men and women who are straight and only straight. There's no eroticism about a same-sex person. There are gays and lesbians who have no question whatsoever that they are only attracted to same-sex partners. And
yeah,
then
I
there
totally
are
believe that
many people somewhere in between that, no matter how you define yourself, no matter what culture or religion or whatever you're into, most people are capable of an erotic thought or an erotic attraction or an erotic fantasy or erotic behavior with both same and other sex.
Yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. So to me, it's like this big thing that even within the gay community, I think there is a biphobia.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
You know, let's talk about biphobia within the gay GLBT community, but also biphobia in the world in general.
Okay.
It's so ridiculous because I've had people come to me and say, oh, yeah, you know, you're bisexual, you don't belong here. And I'd be like, okay, when I leave a gay bar, I'm not half bashed. I'm not half discriminated against, right? You know, because of bisexuality. And it's just ridiculous. I think the bisexuals are not included, for example, in the gay marriage issue because it totally scares the politicos in the GLBT community because the right wing's going to say, oh, you see, those bisexuals want to get married to two people. No, we just want to get married like everyone else and to whoever we want to.
Right.
So it's Yeah, there is a lot of, I don't know what Nicole's experienced as far as biphobia.
I've had, you know, various people. I mean, just usually people who I just meet when I'm in a gay setting. I've had, you know, I think I was in West Hollywood, I don't know, probably a year ago, and I met some gay men, and they found out I was bisexual, and they sort of, you know, gave me a big lecture about how I was really gay and this whole thing, and I just got really angry and started yelling at them. Which is just pretty much my reaction, you know, how can someone tell me who I am, you know, and I've always identified as bisexual, and it's just, like, going to haunt me forever, you know, people are always going to say that, and it's funny because I haven't had a lot of experiences of lesbians telling me that I'm, I mean, I haven't dated that many lesbians, probably because they're afraid I'm going to leave them for a man. The few lesbians that have given me a chance, they're like, oh, well, if you need to date a guy while you're dating me, too, that's fine. And I'll be like, no, I don't want to. Why would I want to do that? Do you want to date other people? I mean, that's upsetting to me, you know?
Right. But there's a difference between them saying, using the word, if you want to date someone else, or if you just feel like being sexual with someone else. Then you're talking about an open relationship where there's no guilt or jealousy
but
around it.
They offer that without me even bringing it up. I mean, I don't want that. I'm a very loyal person, and I probably wouldn't feel comfortable with that. You know,
I'm a monogamous individual.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of very long-term relationships, but when I am dating someone, it's usually just one person at a time, except for that one time. You know, I mean, it's just too much energy to date multiple people at once, and I feel loyal to whoever I'm with, and until that relationship ends, I'm not going to start another one.
So in that case, for example, it was kind of an insult for her partner to say, oh, yeah, you know, if you want to go off the other, because that's a total misunderstanding about bisexuality.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to address issues we were having in the relationship that were problematic, and that was her response, you know, and it was more like, no, you and I aren't connecting, you know, why is that? It's not about, you know, whether you have a vagina or a penis, you know.
It gets back to intimacy again.
Yeah.
It gets back to relationship and intimacy issues, which is the bottom line of everything we're talking about anyway.
Absolutely.
So before we continue, I want to remind my listeners, if you want to call in, if you have a question of Nicole, Mike, or myself, or you got some comment that you want to add to the mix here, the number in Phoenix is 480-949-1310. That's 480-949-1310. And you're listening to Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM 1310 in the Phoenix area. So let's get... Well, I have one other question before I want to get more specifically into your book. And I know everything we're talking about is really about your book, but I want people to get a better sense of what this book is really like. Is it your opinions that bisexual women or bisexual men have a rougher time with bisexuality in our culture and society?
I'd say bisexual men, hands down. What would you say?
Oh, yeah. Well,
yeah.
We've talked about it quite a bit. I mean, I think
bisexual
women are part of our pop culture with Madonna and Britney Spears.
Oh, it's trendy and cool, and all the straight men encourage it, so it's accepted.
But let's see a big name bi actor come out, right? That's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, you just look at pop culture and that kind of thing. You have people like Dave Navarro and people like that saying they've been with guys, and the rockers can get away with it, but the few sportsmen who have tried it, their careers are shot, and it's just.
Or they do it after they're done with their sports.
Exactly.
Yeah, when they're retired.
Yeah, so it's a definite. There, you know what? It's the straight man's fantasy to have two women, and that's what it's all about. The straight guys who are, and we've been on some of the horrible talk
morning
shows
radio shows, and yeah, they've been
God.
They just treat me like a piece of meat, and it's disgusting, you know, and they just talk about their threesome fantasies, and then when Mike's on, you know, they tell him he's gay, so it's just been really, it's refreshing to be on this show, to be honest with you.
But they want to know, you know, how they can get two women, and that's their fantasy, like they would ever know what to do with it if they did, but that's the straight guy's fantasy, and maybe that's why our culture, because it's so straight male dominated, in that kind of thing, that bisexual women then are more accepted, and you know, if they had the right man, of course they'd switch, and we'd straighten them out.
Right.
That's the attitude.
Now let's talk a little bit specifically about The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe: Quips, Tips, and Lists for Those Who Go Both Ways. And just to remind my listeners, we're speaking with the authors of that book, Nicole Crystal. Is it Crystal or Crystal?
No, you're pronouncing it correctly. It's just Crystal.
Okay. And Mike Zemanski, who has a few other pseudonyms too, but we'll stay with Zemanski. And
which you're mentioned in the book, by the way.
Okay. You divide this book into beginners, intermediate, and advanced.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about the difference between what you have in here for beginner bisexuals, intermediate bisexuals, and advanced bisexuals. What's the difference?
God. Well, if you're a newbie bisexual, you should definitely start with the beginner section because we define what the word is and just figuring out if you are bisexual. We have some quizzes and we go over the science and the background of it. And
we have the Kinsey scale and the Fritz Klein grid and all the different kinds of scientific ways that people have tried to determine sexuality as well.
Yeah, so just kind of feeling yourself out is the whole point of the beginner section. And intermediate, you start dealing with actually coming out, which we felt like was a good place to start with the intermediate section.
And by the third section, the advanced section, we tell you how to have three ways, how to have long-term relationships, how to throw an orgy or deal with being in an orgy if you need to. And
if you're polyamorous, here's a contract that'll help you out, you know, that sort of thing.
What do you mean by polyamorous?
If you want to have a serious relationship with more than one partner.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not serious. I don't know. I think it's more building. I mean, from the people who are polyamorous that I interviewed for the book, I'm not polyamorous myself. At least I don't think I am. Who knows? But
in other words, you can actually have a commitment and an emotional attachment to more than one person
at
one time.
Yeah, that's the whole idea about
and
it.
And that you're doing it from a place of integrity where there are no secrets and everybody's more or less part of the contract.
Exactly.
And like you were saying, you know, you dealt with people who are in long-term opposite sex commitments and yet they're sneaking around with the same sex. And we actually provided a contract that we thought at first was humorous in the back of the book that we find that people are actually taking rather seriously, where because we've dealt with a lot of married people who don't need to sneak around. I mean, if there is honesty in your relationship, you can look at this by contract in the back and say, okay, let's fill it out. You may spend X amount of days or nights with the person, X amount of weeks, months of the year, and then anything that applies. You know, I don't want to know anything, or I want to know their name, or you know, you can't leave their toothbrush there, or you know, that kind of thing. So, and we found actually that people are really using this guide and for practical purposes, and it's helping people out.
So what started out as something humorous actually ended up being a very useful tool for a lot of people.
Well, yeah. I mean, and, you know, we're also basing it, too, on our experiences, too. But, you know, one of the things is, okay, if you bump into the other person, how do you deal with that? And, you know, we have a list of it. And one of them is the third party is allowed over at the house but is referred to as Uncle Bob or Crazy Aunt Sarah. You know, or something like, you know, how do you, you know, and the whole point of it really is you need to discuss these things. You know,
yeah.
People can have open polyamorous relationships. A guy can be married to a woman and he can have a deal with her that is maybe satisfying to her if he's honest with her and still go off with a guy if he feels like he needs to do that.
But if you discuss it with your partner and they say, no, cheating's cheating, I do not want you doing this, you need to respect that and be honest with them and say, okay, this is the sacrifice I have to make to keep this relationship going.
And then also,
go ahead, Mike.
Well, I was going to say, and also don't take advantage of it. If you find someone who's open to you going off, okay, then you need to set the parameters. Is it going off all the time? Is it going off with many different partners? Is it going off with one other partner? And, and again, be honest.
And be safe, for God's sake.
And safe, thank you. Yes, of course, always. Because, you know, to talk a little bit more, I mean, I had come out of the closet in college, and I actually got married to a woman in the late 70s, years after I'd come out, and she knew that I was gay when we met, but we fell in love, and there was a connection, and I couldn't imagine my life without her. And so she was as surprised as I was when I started talking about that kind of commitment. And I was so dissatisfied with who I was as a gay man. I mean, part of this is, I think, just part of my own coming to terms with myself and self-loving and things like that. But we did get married, and sex was fine with her, but I always knew that something was missing. And so about 6-8 months into the relationship, we both knew that it was stressful, it was tense, and she actually said to me, and God bless her, she said, I love you, and this relationship's important to me, and if you need to be with a man once in a while, that's okay. Just not too often, with nobody that I know, and I don't need to know when it happens.
Hmm. Wow.
And you know what? I know. I mean, and this, we're talking about at that time, a conservative Republican Christian Scientist.
Wow.
And that's so amazing. You really give her credit. I mean, she, like I said, God bless her. And that's how much I was loved by her. And while I had tried it a couple of times, there was a part of me that just didn't feel right about it. I still felt like I was cheating.
Yeah.
And I still, and so I knew, even though most people would say, oh my God, you got your cake and eat it too, right? But to me, it was still like, no, this is cheating, and what if I do meet someone, and finally I meet a guy where, because I knew that my place, my real connection is with another man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it doesn't mean I wasn't enjoying sex with my ex-wife.
Yeah.
But I knew that, I knew where home was.
So you couldn't connect with women as deeply as you could with men?
Erotically at that time, because I'd never connected with anyone emotionally as deeply as I did with her at that time.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So but you there's never been a woman that then since would have turned your head that you would have wanted to, like, have a relationship with since you came out as gay?
No. Mm-hmm. You know, because the thing is, I can think erotically and see a man that just turns me on and gets my heart pounding.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened with my ex-wife, Harriet, was we became the closest of friends and the deepest of intimates first before there was any erotic feeling there.
Yeah.
Well. You know, so, and that's the problem, I think, with a lot of gay men who have difficulty finding relationships, is it's about the eroticism first before they actually get to know one another, which is why there's been so many issues, I think, in the gay community about intimacy and relationships.
Yeah, I feel bad for gay men who are looking for relationships, you know. I mean, the ones I know, you know, they have a really hard time. I mean, they can find mm-hmm. sex wherever they want, but they can't find the right guy, you know, and I mm-hmm. really feel for them, especially in L.A., where kind of certain clubs are pretty superficial as far as appearances go, you know.
Yeah. So getting back to your book here, enough about me, let's talk about you. Nicole, you are in a relationship right now.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
I actually broke up with that person I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, for, you know, it just, I wasn't feeling the connection I needed to with her, and I broke up with her, you know, and that was...
Well, then let's talk. So you're a single woman who identifies as bisexual.
Yeah.
And where do you go to meet people? Do you go to bars where a lot of lesbians might be? Do you
go to
straight bars?
That's where I go to meet women. I don't really need to go to straight bars to meet men. I always seem to encounter straight men who are hitting on me. I mean, not like I'm full of myself or anything, but just I tend to find the straight men will just approach you anywhere, and that happens to me enough that I don't need to go to bars, straight bars, thank God, to try to meet guys,
uh-huh.
you know. But women, yeah, it's a little harder. So I'll go to a club. I have some lesbian friends, and it makes it a lot easier to go out in a group, and you can approach people more easily when you're not alone or with just one other person. And that's one of the strategies I talk about in the book. If you really want to try to meet a member of the same sex, or, you know, a lesbian or bi woman, and you're a bi woman, that would be the strategy I'd recommend. Unfortunately, you know, if you don't drink, it kind of sucks hanging out at bars. They're noisy and obnoxious.
Right.
And, you know, there's other scenes you're going to have to try to find, and it'll be a little trickier. But so a lot of times I've made friends at bars, and then we'll hang out at each other's houses, and we don't have to keep going back to the bars, which is really nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a single bisexual woman, when you see yourself, when you project into the future and imagine yourself in a loving relationship, Do you see a man or a woman by
your
side?
No, I don't have any idea who I'm going to end up with. I don't see anything.
So you're really that clear?
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's great.
It's weird. I mean, I don't have that sort of white wedding fantasy like a lot of straight women, and I don't know. I don't know what to picture, you know. I'm just like, I'll end up with the right person. The person who I connect with the most is who I'm going to end up with, and that's all there is to it. And if I know that the person I'm dating is not that person, I don't see the point in continuing the relationship.
Because a lot of the bi people that I talk to say, you know what, I really hope it's the opposite sex because it's just so much easier in society. What do you say to that individual?
I mean, you don't have a choice. You don't know who you're going to fall in love with and who's going to be right for you and who you're going to encounter on your journey in life. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't really hope for that. I don't really care either way. Maybe I'm nuts, but...
Because it's the sort of thing I hear from a lot of gay men who identify as gay who are having difficulty coming out, saying, I just wish I wasn't gay because it would be so much easier with my family, it would be easier professionally, it would be easier just to go out in society and not have to worry about what people are going to think and, you know, those sort of
those are people who are not comfortable with themselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think.
I have to agree with that.
When you're talking like that, you're talking about excuses, and if you're not comfortable with yourself, then you're not going to be comfortable with whoever you are.
Well, let me tell you about my background. I mean, I'm from, you know, the Bay Area, you know, which is very fairly liberal. You know, my parents totally know about my sexuality and accept it and are proud of me. Even my conservative Republican side of the family knows about it, and they're fine with it. So I've received only acceptance for this. And I'm very fortunate, and maybe that's why I'm comfortable with saying I don't know who I'm going to end up with, and whatever, it's fine with me.
So what would you say to someone who doesn't identify as bisexual, who doesn't really even think in those terms? Why would they want to read your book?
Because everyone knows someone who's bisexual, whether they know it or not.
And everyone's had the potential of dating, if they haven't already, without knowing it, dated someone who is bisexual. It's amazing how many of my heterosexual married friends who would never have picked up this book except because they know me have read it and laughed out loud and then bought it for somebody. And I'm astonished because they've gotten something from it. It's like, oh, I dated somebody who you described like that, and I never thought about it until I read your book that he may have been bisexual or she may have been.
And my dad loves the book and said it gave him a lot of great tips for his marriage with my mom, you know.
Wow.
I mean, it's like he said anyone who has a relationship should read this book, and he got a lot of useful stuff about it.
Because it really is about expanding your thoughts about relationships and how you deal with other people, no matter what your sexual orientation is.
So somebody who's gay and identifies as gay or lesbian, they're reading this book for the same reason, aren't they?
Of course.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're also, you know, I had a lot of gay people, gay men and gay women, say, oh, I'm buying 4 copies and I'm giving them to my friends who really need them, or I'm dating a bisexual right now and I need to know what to do, you know, and I'm buying this book.
Mm-hmm. How long's the book been out on the market?
October. Not very long.
Not very long. And people can get it at Amazon.com?
They can get it anywhere at any bookstore.
Yeah, all the bookstores have it. You have to look for it, but there's a couple of copies in every bookstore, and that's refreshing to know. But, yeah, it's definitely on Amazon.
But they have it at Borders and Barnes & Noble and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's also a website. Tell us about the website.
Yeah, we created this website called bisexualsguide.com, and it has some sort of fun snippets from the book and some quizzes people can take to figure out if they are bisexual.
And unlike the book, you can see beautiful pictures of Nicole and I, but you can also, but you can see that Nicole is very much not a lesbian person that some guys say, oh, are you a bruiser lesbian? And then they'll look her up on the website and say, ah, you're beautiful. And so you can see that there'll be... She's definitely attracted to everybody of all types. But
physical appearance has nothing to do with sexuality, let me say that, too. Even if I looked like a complete butch, it wouldn't mean I was any less bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
what else do you want people to know about the book or about the website?
Gosh.
Well, the website has things in the book that we weren't allowed to put in the book, which is kind of fun. So we do have some excerpts that we weren't necessarily that was too hot for even Allison to print. But
like what?
Well,
bisexual president.
Yeah, the bisexual president's list and the musicians and the song lyrics we weren't allowed to put in because we had to get permission. But there's a lot of song lyrics that are cross-gendered that are very mainstream songs, and we came up with a really comprehensive list that we were proud of, but we had to cut. And then with just lists of bisexuals throughout history in all kinds of areas, from architects to artists to religious leaders and
people who are outed.
Yeah. We don't out anybody who wasn't outed to us either in person or in public in some way.
Yeah, I like your list here as famous fence sitters.
Yeah, those are the ones that made the cut, and we're surprised they let us keep some of them in there, like Sting and people that you didn't really. You know, a lot of people, Mike is really brave, I got to hand it to him. He goes into a lot of press junkets and asks bisexuality questions when it must be pretty uncomfortable to do that. And a lot of celebrities will talk about it and seem pretty open to it. I don't know. So it's cool that we have some stuff in there that only Mike has heard from these people, these public figures.
So I want to tell people that if they want more information about The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe, Quips, Tips, and Lists for Those Who Go Both Ways, that the website is bisexuals, with an S, guide.com.
You got it. That's
okay.
It.
Okay. Now, what other places can people go? I know that, you know, I quoted from byresource.org. Where
we
can
have
people
a section,
go for more?
We have a section in the back that has
a
list,
yeah,
including the bisexuals.org, but we have resources and websites of places like the Bi Cafe and binetusa.com. The internet has really kind of increased the bisexual community in a lot of ways. People are bisexual on the internet more than they are in public.
That's true.
Are there bisexual dating services on the internet?
Oh, yeah.
There are. I don't really find them very helpful. I mean, they're not my, I don't know.
We want to start our own.
Yeah, we do.
Okay.
I find that when I go to the bisexual dating sites, almost everyone on there is polyamorous or already in another relationship, and I get solicited a lot to be the third person. And, you know, while it's flattering, it's just not what I'm looking for, at least not right now. And so that's tricky. You know, people who specifically want that end up on a lot of these sites. And if you just want a normal, old, boring, monogamous relationship, it's hard to find.
Well, now you're saying monogamous relationship is boring.
Oh, well, no. But, I mean, it's
standard.
That's
standard,
what I
yeah.
meant.
Standard. No, but you would think you would hear coming from a 20-something bisexual girl, right?
And, Nicole, I get the feeling you're anything but boring.
Oh, well,
so.
Thank you. I hope not.
And Mike, I know, is anything but boring, so.
You know that.
So. Again, this is part one. So we've been talking more in general terms about bisexuality, society, the do's and don'ts in terms of coming out and the difficulties people might have. And like I said, Greg Carlson's going to be on the show in a couple of weeks where we're going to talk more about counseling issues. But I want to ask you, you know, Mike, you said that you were in therapy and actually ended up educating the therapist more. What should people be looking for? What questions should they ask if they're really looking to get into therapy with someone and they know that their sexuality, but particularly bisexuality, is going to be an issue that they need to work on?
I don't think you need to get a bisexual therapist, and I think Greg would say that too. I think you need to get someone who is open to the idea of it. And I had a very cool, you know, Jewish family man who was very open to what I was talking about, and without judgment. And so, but I also know that they're gay and lesbian therapists who are very open to bisexuality. I also know that there are a few who are not, and that is a problem. I think that when I've heard of gay and lesbian therapists who would discount bisexuality, absolutely. Those are people that should be drummed out of the business, as far as I'm concerned. That may be a little harsh, but
Yeah. I mean, I've been in therapy as well, and I've had all, I'd had all straight female therapists, and the first question I always ask them during the first session is, do you believe bisexuality exists? Because if you don't, this isn't going to be a good match.
Good. Exactly. So with all that being said, we're hearing the music right now, which means our time's up tonight. Nicole Crystal and Mike Zemanski, I want to thank both of you taking time out on your Friday night to join us on Tell the Truth Faster to talk about The Bisexual's Guide to the Universe.
It was lovely.
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, and come on again anytime you want. I want to thank my listeners for being patient and waiting for a live show to come back on the air. This is Stuart Altshuler and Tell the Truth Faster on KXAM, 1310 AM in Phoenix area. Have a great weekend, and see you next week.